We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name's Kevin King, and I'm going to be your facilitator today for this call, and it's Over 60 in Loving Life. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. Again, that's 888-230-2300, or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can use the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. Again, 393-9909, area code 630. So let's get jump right into this thing. Steve Minnick is away for today, so he's on assignment, and so we'll just get right into our lesson for today. Just kind of a quick overview. We're going over the white paper for Over 60 in Loving Life. Those are listening to the rebroadcast. And the first thing we looked at was time. It's interesting. Are we being good stewards of our own time and then the time of others in our lives? And because as we get older, we start to realize that we do have less time. And yet we have so much to be thankful for. The next thing to look at, too, is talents. Are we stewarding our abilities? These are the things that we're good at and we gain a lot of pleasure from. And it's important to be able to find out why we were put on this planet. It ties into our life passion or life vision. And it's one of the fastest and easiest ways to discover our own passions and why God put us here on this planet. The next thing we did is we looked at treasure. So this is money, material possessions. And that's the third T. It's kind of one of the little tricky things as to what we do with this. But as we get older, we may have enough money, and others we may have it in abundance, and others may not have as much. But it comes down to how we steward it, and it's really important as we struggle to get a handle on that topic. For those of us who don't have enough money, we worry, and for those who have an abundance, we wonder, you know, who are going to be the best stewards of what we've worked hard to earn and have had disciplines not to spend. And then the next thing that we looked at here is trust, which is really the fourth T. And as we get older, one of the things that we find is that trust comes in many ways, but especially in relationships. People start dying, people start moving, people start having changes in their lives, and it's real important to continue those relationships. And if we're not working and if we're out getting out less, then we lose the ability to make new friends. And that leads to being less connected with other people. So it's important to not fear looking at new relationships and pressing forward. So today we're looking at truth, which is the fifth T. And that's really interesting because truth is the foundation for all long-term happiness. You say that, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, the challenge is that we as human beings often want to feel good about ourselves and the situations we have with others, and sometimes actually deceive ourselves to feel good in the short term, only to find out that we're in a miserable state in the long term. I don't know if you found this in your life, but as we get older, do we start reverting back to being a teenager? Think about it. Do we start believing again that we are the center of the world and the world revolves around us? Do we think that we're the most interesting people in the world and that everyone else is interesting and interested in hearing us talk? And do we not start listening to people anymore? And the other thing is, do we believe that we can do things that we really can't and don't believe things that we really can? Do we start believing that everybody around us owes us something and that we've worked hard, we're entitled to whatever? Do we become moody and focus on the negative things rather than looking at the positive? And do we start thinking that we understand everybody else at a very deep level, that no one understands us? We're special. We actually say things out loud. Or you know, maybe you've heard somebody say, I'm 76 years old and you're only 50. Now, don't get upset. I'm only 52 here. But I would I've heard this before. And sometimes people that have had hard lives, sometimes I hear them say things like, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand me. And, you know, maybe there's some truth in those statements. But just like teenagers, we start needing to having a checkup from the neck up. The difference is as teenagers, there are parents, teachers, and adults that are willing to weigh in and help us out. But as we get older, is it out of respect that people don't tell us the truth any longer? And if that's happening, why is that? It's weird because the teenage principle is pretty interesting. The teenage principle states that teenagers are overconfident in things they should be underconfident in, and they're underconfident in things they actually should be confident in. And we all have some level of teenager in us. It's called blind spots. Those who are truly teachable understand this, and they're willing to trust up others, even those who are much younger in years and experience. Because the people, if we look at the personality profile, we look at personality masteries, which is really the DNA of people. The analytic, the person that loves the details, is always thinking about the past and history, loves history. And the expressive, the person that loves to have fun, is always in the moment, is always in the now. The person that loves to connect with people and stay connected, make sure everybody's taken care of, the amiables, well, they're more focused in the short term. And drivers, well, they're just looking at the long term. That's part of how they operate. And perspective here, as we grow older, no matter how old we are, needs to be kind of a combination of that, the past, the present, the short term, and the long term. And it's knowing when to do that. But it's interesting, people start to give up. Why? Why do people give up? Well, they don't have hope anymore. They don't have a vision. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a passion. And part of the things as we do is we have to understand that the truth is maybe the most important thing we have to hold on. And if people don't understand the truth, that's one thing. But to execute on the truth is another thing. So why don't people execute on the truth? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is they lack education, which is their head. They lack passion or vision, which is hope and heart. And they lack discipline, which is their hands. They're not teachable. There's walls of opportunity. And they may see the truth, but they may not understand it. But the people that have the passion to do it and see it and understand it, well, those are really only the 10% or less. So as we look at having the truth in our lives and the impact we can have on the lives of those around us, and especially teenagers, it's pretty amazing when we think about it. When we give other people permission to be honest and truthful with us, it will give us a platform to share our life experience and have others share their experience with us. And that creates opportunities for many relationships at a deep level, which helps us to better understand our value to those around us. So last week we had an assignment. Last week's assignment on trust was write in my journal those people I trust and why. So today's assignment is list in my journal those who are most truthful with me. Again, the assignment today, and again, you can find this on page 20 of the Over 60 and Loving Life white paper, assignment number 5, list in my journal those who are most truthful with me. We're going to open up the lines around us, and we have Karen Carlson on the phone. Karen, welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Sorry if there's a little background noise while I'm driving.
Okay.
Very interesting question. Who's most truthful with me? I have the joy
Karen?
Of being with my son and his
Karen?
Family and my grandson. Yes.
Hey, Karen, excuse me. It's really hard to hear. Is there some way to minimize the static in the background?
Yeah. That was just road noise. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you good?
What you said,
okay.
That we can really understand it.
Okay. The last week or so I've had, well, not quite a week, the last several days, had the joy of being with my son and his family and our granddaughters in New Jersey. And being able to be with children and be with family that you don't get to be with very often is, sometimes really a great insight. And so I was able to spend time with my daughter-in-law, who really gave me some instruction. And so if we can be, she's half my age, but if we can be vulnerable and open enough to, receive that, and also from my, grandchildren, to Mark had asked me to ask my 8-year-old granddaughter, what do you think is the secret to happiness? And her response, which was kind of based on a recent experience, her dad was reprimanding her, disciplining her for something, and she said, the secret to happiness is when my daddy, when he's really mad at me, I can't see his smile. And, you know, it was just, you know, one of those moments where you listen to that. And then from my four-year-old granddaughter, who is in the moment and sees all of life as a great big, you know, full of wonders and full of new things. And so being able to tap into that this last several days was really renewing and, you know, takes me out of kind of the deep, you know, maybe the deeper thought of planning and, you know, all of the ins and outs of what we're trying to do and accomplish in our lives and stuff like that. So it was kind of a nice reprieve to step back and, you know, as Mark likes to say, see from the 30,000 foot view, see kind of the bigger picture of life, not just from my own perspective, if that makes sense.
I think it does. Let me open it up here. Mark Boersma is on the line as well. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. What do you think about what Karen said? It's pretty interesting.
You know, I love talking to young children. It seems like if you get them before they're nine, that they see things that are very, very profound. It's like it doesn't get muddled based on like preconceived notions or interpretation of experiences in life, because they don't have that many experiences. And so they seem to have a sense of clarity that is just, you know, spectacular. And so I love it.
I thought that was pretty interesting. What your 8-year-old said. Could you repeat it again? It was a little unclear to me, just in my headset. Could you please repeat what
okay.
she said?
Sure. I had asked her, "What's the secret to happiness?" Mm-hmm. And her response was, "You know, yesterday Daddy was really, really mad at me. Mm-hmm. And when Daddy's really mad at me, I can't see his smile."
Interesting. Did she go on to say anything further other than that?
She did not. You know, I think she knew why Daddy wasn't smiling. And so for her, I think it was accepting kind of the responsibility of the consequence of why that happened, but yet her sadness around the fact that she had disappointed Daddy and couldn't see his smile.
So I wonder how we can take that into our lives. When we're talking about truth, we're talking about, you know, what's the definition of happiness from an 8-year-old perspective. I thought it was interesting that you said that it's important for us to be vulnerable and open in order to receive the truth. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. You know, the reason I said that was I was out for a few hours with my daughter-in-law. Just the two of us have some time, and we were talking about, you know, things that are going on, and she was giving me some perspective on, Karen, I think you need to set some boundaries. I think you need to you know, look at things and put things in place. And, you know, it's a little humbling sometimes when, you know, somebody is sharing that, and I'm like, you know, first of all, it was like, okay, do I share my concerns? Do I put that on someone else, so to speak, you know, the family or whatever, or do you just buck up and, you know, pretend like you've got it all together? And so for me, it was being open enough to say, yeah, I'm struggling with this, and being open to getting her feedback on that, you know, from her perspective, if that makes sense.
Mark, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's complex. There's a lot of moving parts, and so, you know, I've learned some of the most significant things from, you know, 5 and 6 years old or even babies. And so anybody at any age, any education or background, you know, everybody's got a unique life, like a fingerprint, and so it's a unique life. And so I think that people can give us, input. Because there are so many factors involved, that there are times that people, well-intentioned, do give us input, and it might guide us. And I mean, that's what I'm struggling with right now. I've got a big decision with my, 14-year-old, and so, I'm seeking input from, different people, multitude of wise counselors, much wisdom, and so, but they have very different. One says, "Yeah, it's a great idea, move forward." Another says, "What are you thinking? That's insane." And so, I think a lot of times we do try to surround ourselves with people who agree with us, see life as what we see it, and they reinforce what we're thinking. So I think it's good to have people with different thought processes. So I don't know if that contributes or helps or not.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's. Would you mind sharing what the decision that you're trying to make here with your 14-year-old?
Sure, yeah. He is very interested in moving to Nashville. So we live in the Chicago area, so he's interested in moving to Nashville to be with his older brother. He's 14, his older brother is 24. And so, and then his sister there, his older sister who's 23 is there. So he wants to move there and go through high school there. So he'd go from 14 to 18, and he would live there.
Mm. Karen, let me ask you, what would you think about that scenario? What's your input? What do you think? What kind of truth do you think you can bring to that scenario? What insight do you think you can bring?
I guess my initial thought would be, what is creating that desire in the 14-year-old? What's drawing him? Is it just being with his brother and sister? Is it that he's just trying to avoid, some other responsibilities or some other challenges that, exist currently? Is it sort of an escape? Or, is there something of value in being in that location rather than being where he is now?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Let's go ahead and say, for the sake of argument, let's say that it is an escape.
Do you want more comments on that?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my thought with that would be, he is technically still a minor, and so what type of environment is he going to be in, where he's going to be at, from a safety perspective, from a, 14-year-old making decisions that, can have long-term impacts on them, the influence of siblings, the influence of siblings' companions, a lot of the kind of the circumstances in that location, and how comfortable you as a parent are in trusting him, his siblings, and all that goes with that.
So what does that have to do, what does anything you just said have to do with the escape?
Well, if he's trying to escape, I guess my comment would be, is he really going to escape, or is he just delaying whatever it is that he's trying to avoid? It may be a short-term escape, but in the long term, is it really going to accomplish that, or is it going to delay it?
Yep. Yep.
So if it's just going to delay it, then is it better for him to either learn what he needs to learn now or later?
Right. And it's interesting because there is a, you know, I don't know, a woman probably in her 30s I was talking to yesterday, and she said that, you know, she came back from 2 years of Argentina, and she's living in Chicago, and she just cannot stand it. I mean, she likes the city and stuff, but she has to be around, you know, mountains, energy-wise. And I'm like, really? Huh. And so, you know, so she's escaping, and so it's like, you know, is that good? Is it bad? You know, it just, I mean, there's just so many moving parts. There's so many different aspects. It's like, you know, how do you, you know, how do you make, you know, how do you make those decisions?
It's trying to, you know, put yourself in that place where you want to escape just creates misery where you are. Sometimes, you know, like they say, you can't buy happiness. Happiness or misery can follow you no matter where you are, regardless of what you think might be happening here or there.
Right. So here's an intriguing question. Okay. Let's say it's to escape misery. Okay. And let's say that he moves to Nashville, and it's miserable there too. Was that a good decision to allow him to go or not?
Good. An interesting word. You know, it's based on the short term or the long term. It could be a good decision because he may learn that you really can't escape, you know, something just by being in a different geographic location. So it's teaching him, you know, a life value, I guess, a life lesson that may serve him for the rest of his life. But there's also, you know, there's some risk involved in that, depending on, you know, circumstances, which I'm not, you know, aware of what that may create. I mean, do we trust enough to let a 14-year-old make those decisions?
Right. Right. Or do I trust a 51-year-old to make the decision?
Good question. So I don't know if any of that was helpful, but I offer it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, at what point do we have to learn it on our own, and what is it going to cost us?
Right.
And but you don't know unless you take that you want to call it a leap of faith, you want to call it a step. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I don't know what it's like for a 14-year-old. I'm trying to recall. I'm trying to dial back. I know my parents would have never let me do that. And yet at the same point, if I had an older brother, that might be a very interesting part of life to say, I'm having to learn to discover things in reality, the way reality really is. Not the one I've created in my own mind, but to come to my own conclusions about things. And I'm wondering, if he doesn't go, how much of his reality and his things that in life and how he views reality are going to be based on other people's view of that he may or may not agree with.
Yeah, it's
and
all
then maybe
to
part
me.
Of it is. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it. That's interesting because I'm being, you know, it might be detrimental to hold him back. To say, well, I don't agree with that, Dad. I should have gone. I should have been able to go to that. You know,
well,
if I have that
friend of ours.
Yeah,
mutual friend of ours, Dave Liddy, said, sounds like you've got a Bill Hybel on your hands, where, you know, I guess his dad at the age of, I don't know, 12 or 14, sent him on a train with a one-way ticket and said, figure out how to get home.
Yeah.
You know? And he said, it sounds like, You know, and Dave introduced me to a guy that does gangs in the inner city, and he has kind of almost a personality assessment. You know, are you a drug dealer? Are you a thug? Are you a pimp? And I forget what the other one was. And so, you know, those all have obviously negative connotations to them, but it's kind of personality driven to where if all of us were put in another situation, we could be any one of those things, just in a different, you know, situation. And so, you know, he said, you know, I think it sounds like your son has, you know, gifts, and he's going to use them for good or bad. And so, okay, I think I get that. I think that. And so, yeah, putting additional pressure on him, his brother and his sister, I mean, you know, that's the thing that's intriguing to me. What looks good may not be, and what looks bad may not be. So good can be bad, bad can be good. And it's like when you look at the whole scope of eternity, it gets it even more convoluted. And it's like, wow.
It's kind of the risk-reward, yeah. The risk-reward question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of times parents, and this is, I think, where grandparents can really help out, because they can see things in a different way that parents can't, especially if they know the grandkids and have relational with them. You know, and so it's like, I think a lot of parents make a decision and think that everything's going to turn out really good, and it doesn't turn out bad. It turns out bad, and they say, "Well, I'm a bad parent. That was a bad decision." Well, you don't ever really know, because just because you don't go a different direction doesn't mean it turns out good. It could have turned out worse.
Right. Yeah.
Or it may be bad. Go. Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Just saying, has your mom weighed in on this? Have you told her yet?
They don't seem to get involved in the decisions a lot. Like, so no, I haven't. I don't think I have.
But okay.
I might have.
I ask why is that? I mean, or
why
is
they don't get involved?
Like them? Yeah.
I think it's the way they were raised, maybe. Like their grandparents didn't seem to get involved in their life.
Okay.
So they're not used to it, so they're not, I mean, they're right across town, but they've never been involved. They didn't really go to the kids' baseball games. They didn't really hang out with the kids. They didn't really have the kids over much. They're just not involved. They just haven't had an interest.
I was just going to say, what do his siblings fear, and what does his mother have to do? What is their perspective on it? What is their input on it?
I may actually got to jump to another one, but we could, you know, and we have number of conversations. I'd love to. Yeah, his mom's pretty much, you know, like in most situations, it's like whatever I think. I mean, she'll go along with it. She's kind of she's okay if it doesn't, and then she's okay if it does, and so she's very, you know, very fluid.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you,
Mark,
guys.
We'll let you jump to your other call. Thanks for being
Thanks
on the call
Mark.
Today. And really appreciate all the input that we received today. And if you're listening to the rebroadcast and you say, wow, that was intriguing, and if you receive benefit from this, then pay it forward. Talk to somebody you know that's over 60 and loving life, or over 60 and would love to love life. Then have them be on the call next week. It's every Wednesday at Central Time, 3 o'clock to 3:30, just a half an hour call. Pay it forward to them. If you have a question about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That is 888-230-2300, Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can use the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day. Thanks.